All right, run it.
Welcome to the Akron Minority Podcast, episode 533. I am one of your hosts, Jesus Shuttlesworth, aka Jimmy Hopper, and well, quite frankly, the real is back. I know somebody at home right now is running around their house right now, just happy to hear my voice. Cause I know y'all tired. I know y'all tired of hearing about is Cheesecake Factory a good first date, this, that, and the third. Men need to do this, women need to do that. I know y'all tired of those. I'm tired of seeing it. Every single time I turn on TikTok, Instagram, anywhere, right? That's all I see is these podcasts trying to go viral. I feel like it's a disrespect to the game that a lot of us OGs put in, right? I feel like it's about time the ruler come back home and reclaim our spot at the top and show you how to do this. Because clearly, y'all don't know what you're doing. Like, I feel like Shep in Above the Rim. Like, he had to come show them that he got this. Right? So I got this. Just sit back. Don't worry. I won't leave y'all with nothing to step to ever again. Shout out to Timberland. But anyway, because I'm going to forget, because my mind's still my mind. Lady Godiva, the Lady Godiva of the Akron Minority Podcast, is having a poetry event April 13th, 2024 in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Lady Godiva of the Akron Minority is having a poetry extravaganza. It's going to be a night to remember. You're going to dress up. You're going to look nice. You're going to bring you a nice little date, whatever you into. Y'all going to sip a little something, eat a little something, and watch Lady Godiva get on stage and do her thing. But if that's not enough to get you in the building, then you get to also come out and meet me. I mean, that's like a lower selling point, but you get to see me as well. But Lady Godiva is having a poetry event April 13th, 2024 in Fredericksburg, Virginia. So as you come out, drink, be merry. It's going to be a link in the description or where you can buy tickets so we can support our sister in this event. Let's sell it out. It's 2024. All we're trying to do is sell it out and elevate and go to the next level because everybody loves something grown and sexy. And I feel like a poetry event is the epitome of grown and sexy. Just don't treat it like Love Jones because we saw Love Jones. Yo, Love Jones, if we really think about it, that's a very toxic ass movie. But it's celebrated as if it has no toxicity in it. But when I was, maybe it's my love for Nia Long. I think it's my love for Nia Long. But Nia Long in that movie is such a horrible human being. Like, she played games with Lorenz Tate to the point where she almost lost them. She gained them back by pure luck. But in real life, I advise nobody to deal with that. Like, girl, if you tell him you're going to get back with that man and he gets mad, then he ain't the one for you. But if he let you go, then he ain't the one for you. Whatever it is, her friend was giving her really bad advice. I feel like the whole movie is just like, okay. Like, it's a great movie, but like for that, no. Like, when I was young, I think I romanticized that movie when I was young. Then you get older, you're like, oh, That's what we're doing? Okay. I don't know how that... But anyway, Lady Godiva, poetry event, April 13th, 2024. Come out, enjoy yourself. Dress nice. I'm going to be dressed nice. You're going to be dressed nice too. Come out and take some pictures.
Like, is Drake hip-hop? I know.
Drake is pop.
We're here for truth.
Drake is pop to me.
Right, that's fair. In the sense that it's charting like pop music, popular music?
In the sense, like, if I was in Target in Houston and I heard a Drake song. So it feels like a lot of his music is compatible with shopping.
Commercial music.
Or it's, you know, music, shopping with an edge. In certain instances, or...
Fair. I like Drake's music, but I understand exactly what you're saying.
Of course. I mean,
it's commercial, entertaining, fun, it's formulaic music.
It's likable.
Likable music, yeah.
likable.
But is it, Lena, I'm gonna leave you alone. We're gonna move on.
so many products. So many SKUs. So many SKUs. Look at all these SKUs. Oh, so many products.
So much merchandising. So many barcodes.
I love this mall. Look at this place. I mean, look at this place. They have everything. Everything's here. They have everything here. Oh, this is great. This is a new Drake. You hear it? It's great. Okay. What happens when this thing collapses? This is the thing that we're talking about. It's like nobody wants to talk about it. It's like, what happens when the columns start buckling? Are we not in some early stage of that at this present hour? Are we seeing like the collapse of empire? Buying and selling. Where's the message that I can use?
Right.
You know, what's in it for your audience apart from being like banging the pom-pom?
All right. So recently, Yasiin Bey, formerly known as Mos Def, was in the news because he did an interview with the Cutting Room Floor. And when asked about Drake, he had those comments to say. Now, my question is, he's not wrong. So actually, it's not a question. It's more of a statement. I think we have come to a point in society where any part of criticism is met with such harsh hatred because you have an opinion that differs from sunshine and rainbows. Actually, Mos Def's opinion is just the truth. He said that Drake makes likable music. Drake makes the type of music now that you can hear in Target. He didn't even say that the music was not good. He just said he makes likable music. Music you hear in Target is the type of music that universally a lot of people like. Like, I'm not going to Target and hearing DMX, y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here or whatever. I'm hearing the Sunshine Band, the Beatles. I may hear Billie Eilish, Bad Guys. Like, you're going to hear music that relates to the audience instantly. It's not going to be something that catches you, that you got to grow. It's going to be something that you can hear. And I think for the longest, Drake has music that for mass consumption. He's been making mass consumption audio. Passion Fruit. I love Passion Fruit. You don't have to grow to like Passion Fruit. Have a deeper knowledge of music from a structural sounds. Like, he brought in the trumpets here. He brought in a hit of clarinet. It's just Passion Fruit. It's a great song. It gets you going. It gives you a feel. It gives you a rhythm. So what Yasiin, what he's saying is, basically, is that the man is here to sell you. Like, he's selling. He's selling product. He's selling commercialized music. I think Vince Staples, when he made and with the Big Fish theory, Vince Staples talked about how the sound he was going for that album is that he was going for movie trailers, like a movie sound. That is him pushing to sell a product. It's nothing bad. It's nothing wrong with a criticism, because you're clearly doing this with the hopes of getting this. You're doing A with hopes that the results of B equals to money. Especially when it comes to making such a commercial sound. Because everybody knows what we want to hear from Drake. Everybody knows what we hold him in the pantheon of rap. But the knock against Drake is always, he won't rap. You got him doing a song with J. Cole. And J. Cole he's rapping. They treat me like Muhammad Ali. They call me when they shit won't connect. Like, but Drake is getting in the ring with a Cole, and he won't rap. So when you hear Mos Def say he's selling product, like he makes pop music, it's not a knock, it's just a truth. He sells music that you would hear in Target. And I think a lot of people, just in general, when it comes to criticism nowadays, we want to be a society void of criticism. But I think criticism creates greatness. I was about to talk about something else, but I don't need HR contacting me. So it's just interesting because nobody wants to deal with a criticism because that makes you reflect on if you're actually doing something. Like, people want to do things and just to go away and not hear about it. Well, close your ears, because people have the right to criticize what you do, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. People are allowed to have an opinion. And his opinion wasn't even bad. Like, he didn't even kick his back in. And then it is really funny to see these kids on the internet go, "I don't know who Mos Def is." I'm not here to get into that and, "Oh, Mos Def can out rap Drake and all this other stuff." I'm not here to even talk about all that, because the fact that you don't know who Mos Def is just speaks to your lack of knowledge of hip hop, but it also goes into the plan that Mos Def sets for herself, because Mos Def is the epitome of hip hop. He sabotaged his own career just so he wouldn't have to worry about that type of stuff. Just like Andre 3000 stepped away from the spotlight, Mos Def did the same thing. Mos Def did a little faster. The Outkast, the celebration of Outkast was celebrated a little quicker. So Andre 3000 rose to stardom and became the unicorn that you now see on Fairfax playing his flutes. He also has an amazing album that recently came out. Y'all should check it out. Blue Moon, New Blue Sun. But the issue is that criticism has a place in society. Like, it really does have a place in society. And again, the criticism is not even that bad. It's just him saying that the man makes pop music. And it's really interesting to see so many people jump off the meat rack. It's like if I talk about Christopher Noah and Steven Spielberg. They're both filmmakers, but they come at filmmaking from a different angle. Christopher Noah puts more of a mind fuck into it, just to summarize it. Steven Spielberg presents something that you can understand, you can take in all in one watching. Christopher Noah, you got to watch his movie like 5 times to catch the nuances. But that doesn't take away from Steven Spielberg's ability to do something. That doesn't say that Steven Spielberg cannot do such things. It just says that Steven Spielberg does not do that right now. Because I'm pretty sure he could, if Steven Spielberg wanted to make an exception, he could. But he doesn't. So if I criticize your work and saying it's too commercial, it's just commercial. Actually, not even too commercial. If you just say the work is commercial, that is a truth. If you do not like the truth, you can produce something that is not in the commercial realm. But if you make Titanic and he makes Inception, by all means, you made the commercial one, and that's just the truth about it. So when it comes to Drake make commercial music because Drake likes to be likable. Drake likes to hit every market that he can all at once, because the man clearly likes money. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what I do have a problem with is that whenever people have criticism of something, it's always met with, "Oh, you can't do it. You're just mad and bitter kids. You can't do it." No, most people don't want to do it, because that brings I'm not going to do that, because I don't want to put that on him, because he might genuinely just enjoy making pop music. So I don't want to say it brings the joy out of it. But Drake, to me personally, it does seem like Drake's recent projects, he's just doing them. Like, it's a deep, like, I have a deeper take than that, but I'm not gonna share. This is our first podcast back. I'm not gonna share it. I'm not gonna jump all the way out there like that. But I do have a deeper reason. I do have a deeper thought about Drake and his current state of music. I mean, I think Joe Budden, like, no, because I mean, it's, it goes back, like, just to touch on it a little bit. Remember when he was rapping with Jack Harlow, it's like, he makes, like, at this point, he can't even figure out a way to make his music relatable. You know, so it's like he's so out of that realm of rap that he has to step out and do something else. Like Andre 3000 talks about it, about why when he was trying to make a rap, trying to make a rap album, it was impossible for him to make a rap album because he don't know what the fuck people into nowadays. Again, Andre 3000 does his laundry at a laundromat because he want to get outside and feel outside. He plays his flutes. He does what he wants. So he's not really into it. You know, Andre, well, the quote Andre 3000, what it was, I used to want to be a way better rapper when I used to want a black come a deal. Now niggas speeding in a Porsche, feel like I'm going off a course. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, once you lose your hunger for certain things, it comes hard to do it. So now you got to feel like you got to accomplish something else. Like Eminem talks about why he raps the way he raps. Everybody know I don't like the way Eminem raps the way he raps, but it is what it is. It keeps the excitement for him. Andre 3000 tried to find new pockets when he rapped. It keeps it fun for him. So if this is keeping it fun for Drake, then it's keeping it fun for Drake. But if somebody wants to criticize, if we all want to criticize, then we all have the right to criticize it as well. I just don't like a criticism when a criticism is like spurred on hate and you're doing things and you're being spiteful and petty towards the person. But what Mos Def said in his comments in that interview was not spiteful, was not hateful. It was a synopsis. It was an observation of a truth. You make pop music. And Drake fans, Drake stands. Just go out to stand in that because it is what it is. At the end of the day, it is what it is. Also, stop disrespecting Mos Def. Cause that's like the one. It's like this is like the perfect storm again. This is the perfect storm where all that he's just a bitter old rapper. Da da da. That doesn't apply to Mos Def because Mos Def was a great rapper. Mos Def was a great actor, and Mos Def decided that fame and that spotlight he didn't want, so he stepped away from it. People don't have to be bitter to have a criticism. People don't have to have that, but people that are in the spotlight, they don't share too many criticisms of others because they know how y'all act. Y'all will hold that against him. Oh, he said this about him, so I'm not going to buy his album. Or I'm just going to hate him because he shared an opinion. Sometimes people share opinions to make you better. The opinion is just the opportunity to learn something you probably didn't know about yourself that you was missing. Because a lot of people will walk around in this world and they'll let you just be out here. I think Vince Staples said, I'm going to find this Vince Staples clip and I'm going to play it for y'all. Because this pertains to it a lot. You ever like something on TikTok and then you go back to try to find it and then you can't find it? But anyway, what the clip basically was like Vince Staples was like, your friend's going to support quote music or support what you do because you're your friend. They're your friend. Most friends are not going to give you any criticism. Most friends are not going to help you, like not going to find a way to help you, like give you like keys to success and nothing like that. He was like, he went on tour with Earl Sweatshirt, went on tour with Mac Miller, may he rest in peace. He was like, Schoolboy Q was the first person to actually tell me, like, yo, you got to speed up your songs a little bit. They're too slow. So it was like that bit of advice really helped him in his career. Like he's been grinding and nobody really told him like a actual criticism of his music was like nothing. But they never told him anything. So when he got that bit of criticism, he was able to take it and adjust. So that's all that is. It's like you can take it and adjust. You can just know the criticism exists. You could do nothing with the criticism. But to just be void of criticism, that doesn't exist. I'm sorry. That doesn't exist. This podcast has criticisms. One of them being that we've stayed away too long. But criticisms are just criticisms. You either adapt them into what you're doing. You can completely ignore them. But to just sit here and act like how dare people have a criticism of you is nuts. Because if we was a society void of criticism, we'd be a society that will be stagnant. Just something to think about. Awkward male. This is why I'm putting the bar over there. Now it's time for everybody's favorite part of the podcast, the Acromel, where you the misfits send in questions and we answer them. If you have a question, a concern, or a criticism, feel free to click the link in the description of this podcast so you can email us your question, concern, or criticism. But as a friendly reminder, if you would like to remain anonymous, then put in the email anonymous so that we do not read your name on air, because whatever happens in your home, you're on your own. That was clever. Anyway, today's question is, what do I do if my boyfriend is a mama's boy from Kidney Beans? Now, my boyfriend and I have a very healthy relationship apart from situations involving his mother. She has a history of not being very nice, to say the least, to me. And whenever I try to talk to my boyfriend about it, he often gets upset with me and defends her, no matter how mean she is to me. No matter how much evidence I have, he never acknowledges that she's even doing anything wrong. I don't know if he ignores it or is just or not obvious to him. His mother makes it obvious that she doesn't like me, and when I point it out, he completely denies it and defends her. I'm not really sure what to do anymore, because I've taken every approach I can to think of the topic just to receive the same angry response. I've told a couple of close friends about the situation I'm in, and they have all told me that this is a huge red flag and that those are the type of relationships that would never end well. I love my boyfriend and I want our relationship to grow. I just don't know what to do about his attitude when it comes to his mother. Do you have any advice for me? Oh, well, no. You see those hills? You should run for them. Because like your friends have been telling you, this is not going to end well. Because you're going to drive yourself insane trying to explain stuff that from the sounds of it is pretty obvious that this woman has a hatred towards you. She doesn't just wake up one day and stop having it. The further the relationship goes, the more the envious between her is going to develop, and the more psychotic and insane you're going to get trying to explain to this man that his mother is out to get you. Because if you don't see it now, he's never going to see it. And by the time he sees it, it's going to be too late, because you're going to be so engulfed in it that it's going to be no reconciling it. Because you know, this is one of those things where No matter how which way you turn it, it's going to be bad. You can't stand back, it's bad. Stand close, it's too bad. So this is one of those things where it's like, cut loose now, and y'all speak y'all peace, and y'all go about your way. Because your sanity is going to get messed up. Because you're going to grow to resent this man. Because there's no way you can have a healthy relationship if he's this close to his mother that he's defending everything she does, because that just gives her the fuel and ammunition to fuck with you. Because she's getting to that level where she's going to fuck with you. Because if he's that much of a mother's boy that he's telling her about how you say she's doing this, she's doing that, she's getting her rocks off at your expense. So what you need to do is run for them hills. Because again, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. You're going to end up hurting somebody. God forbid. But it's going to get ugly. And I don't want to see that for you. So leave now. It was cool ride, but now you have reached your destination on this train. And speaking of the end of the train, that also concludes this episode of the Awkward Minority Podcast. I do thank you for listening. To be honest, the podcast was a lot longer, but in my absence from the game, I accidentally deleted the whole episode. I had a whole episode. Accidentally deleted it. So in my brain, I need to forget some of the things I talked about on there so I could talk about it fresh. Because one of the things I really wanted to talk about was one of the things I want to forget so that I can have a new take on it, or just my take on it without trying to rehash what I had already said. But till that happens, this is just the podcast episode. I'll always keep it 100 with y'all, and I'm going to always keep it 100 with y'all. So yeah, we back. see y'all when we see you, but just know it won't be too far in between. Or maybe it will be another year and a half. I don't know. What does the world hold? Next time on Dragon Ball Z.